This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast, this time Gemini season. And we have our favorite Gemini twin astrologer, Colin Bedell. Uber Gemini. Hi, Colin. Welcome. Thank you so much for bringing the twins.
Oh, thank you so much for the very warm introduction. I'm honored to be among the favorite Geminis. I'm so thankful.
And absolute classic. I probably should have just done my classic Gemini Colin Bedell of Queer Cosmos, of course. And I'm your host, Vanessa Montgomery from Astro All Stars for the Astrology University podcast. So let's get rolling into all about Gemini. So personal, mutable, air sign. Oh my gosh. So of course, the end of spring in the northern, you guys, the only way is up, and we're heading down to the last phase of autumn, staring winter in the cold, dark eye. So the witty wordsmith, and that is you, Colin. Oh my gosh. Rapid fire. I think you're getting even more rapid and fast.
Right? I'm honored by that. Well, I got to jog faster to keep up with you too.
Well, I think the coffee's starting to kick in. I've had to have one to keep up with Colin. So the quick-winged messenger, the messenger, Hermes, wings on the ankles and feet, the quick mind, sometimes a little all over the place and erratic, I will say. Colin, do you sometimes feel like you're delivering a message? Do you really relate to that idea, that concept of the winged messenger?
Yes. You know what? Since you've asked me in such a structured way, and I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that, I believe that I do. And I believe that I try my best to see my role as the messenger so that I can really take myself so not seriously, you know, because I'm not the message, I'm the messenger.
Yes.
You know, so that's why, like, in all of my work, I make a really concerted effort to cite my sources and attribute where appropriate and make sure that people know I'm not the generator of this information. I'm just summarizing some concepts. So yes, I can see myself very much in that role. And way to go on a first time question. I've never been asked that before.
Awesome. I feel a sense of pride.
Well, to a good start.
That's really interesting. That's a great way to put it, actually, with citing sources and things like that. And I can certainly hear your Capricorn moon in there as well. The respect, you know, that's very respectful also. And yeah, leading into authority and things like that.
Because I think we ought to take ourselves, especially in our community and really anybody who's on social media or generating information, content creation, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Nothing is new under the sun. So if we're just sort of referencing and citing and reconnecting and, you know, having a multidisciplinary lens, I think we can communicate a little bit more effectively personally, because I feel like people feel like there's such a pressure. Like, I have to say something new. I have to say something original. You actually don't. You can just reference somebody.
That's true. Yeah. Really good points. Really good points. And there's that people are calling a lot of information content as well. So yeah, just give respect to it. Maybe point out where you've put your own ideas together too. Absolutely. And you know, it's a spectrum, and there's definitely different shades to that, and leaning into the messenger and away from the ego. So that's a good way of stepping away from the ego and the pressure that puts on you when it's like, oh, I have to do this. It's a more of a creative form.
Yeah. And when you see yourself as the messenger and not the message, again, you just have that Gemini levity, a certain level of adaptability, curiosity, and reverence for pre-existing information, scholars, and sources.
I like that a lot. Thank you.
Of course.
So what else about Gemini? I love the curiosity. Obviously, you know, that's a headline. And ever curious, do you have nine lives? You know, does your curiosity really bag you some trouble sometimes?
You know what I would say? Probably in early childhood it did, because I didn't know that I couldn't ask these questions, you know? And so it certainly would get me into some hot water, right? Yeah. But as I've gotten older, Vanessa, I think, and again, I think this is a cultural distinction because as we were laughing earlier, you know, I'm native New Yorker and I spend most of my time here. It's actually really impressive how when I ask New Yorkers pointed questions, they'll disclose in 0.5 seconds. They'll tell me anything I need to know.
It makes sense. So Gemini, and also, of course, you're a twin.
Yes.
Of course. And of course, my other favorite astro twins are the astro twins. So opposite of you, Sagittarius and Gemini. So what an interesting polarity right there. So your brother is a sister.
Twin sister. Yeah.
Twin sister. Does she do astrology at all? Are you on the same path?
Well, funny you should mention that, Vanessa. I think that she would identify as a little bit of a skeptic. She's just a little bit more curious about how it works. You know, she has her wheelhouse. She's actually a school psychologist. So
okay.
She specializes in providing young learners in the U.S. particular academic social support that they may need, right? So she evaluates, she tests, she examines, she provides really hands-on direct services. But I have noticed ever since she became a mother, she's been really curious about it. And I have a feeling, and she's softening into this idea, that her and I might actually go into the astrology of children and children's psychology. We care so deeply about the youth. And she has really, of course, grounded evidence-based, research-backed support. And I can look at a natal chart and cross-reference it with my sister. And we've been doing that with my niece, her daughter, Evelyn. So she's certainly open to it. And I think one day we might actually join forces.
That would be amazing. That sounds great. And you lean into a lot of, I see your work and you do cite your references. You seem very widely read and going into a lot of psychology and a lot of different levels. Yeah, so that's definitely where you two come together. That would be a great dynamic duo. Twin set.
And, you know, she specializes in children and I'm really trying to specialize in couples and relationships. So wouldn't that be great? You know, we could almost work out significant, you know, personal relational milestones together, early childhood and partner preselection or marital commitment. We can join forces. I'd love it.
Yeah, that would be so cool. So what else would you highlight as a real headline for Gemini generally?
Oh, well, I think what they really want to remind folks is it's really an expression that Ludwig Wittgenstein had said, the Austrian philosopher, that if you expand your language, you expand your world.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's the Gemini headline. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed within my work is, especially because of my astrology, if I am not providing vocabulary for my clients, my readers, and my viewers for in real-time application, I do not believe that I'm offering what I need to be offering. Mm. And I think that's the Gemini way, is like, use your words very granularly in real-time. You're not going to get an invitation in the mail that says, hey, Vanessa, by the way, tomorrow at 2:37, you're going to have an ultimately life-defining conversation. We don't get those advanced previews. And so I would like to believe that the highest expression of Gemini is just a conversation about conversations and thinking about thinking and talking about talking and remembering how to listen and negotiate and communicate. If we can offer people those tools in real time, we can open them up to extraordinary possibilities, second chances, forgiveness, apology, courage, creativity, intimacy. Right. And so that's what I would like the highest octave of Gemini to be.
That's interesting. It sounds like I just think of those twins, that one that's more celestial and that one that's really grounded, like really channeling that as a service. Both.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's me and my twin.
Yes.
My twin side. Yeah, right. Like she is into this, but not sure. Blah, blah, blah. You know, so I'm literally living this story with Courtney.
That's amazing. So Courtney's your sister, yes. Well, let's go into the pitfalls of Gemini/Gemini season, if you have them.
What pitfalls? What are you talking about?
I know, right? It was so hard to come up with anything. Well, Gemini and Scorpio seem to be the most maligned, with Virgo coming in pretty hot there too.
Really?
Gemini Virgo gets a lot of grief, right? I think Gemini gets grief for being, for the dualistic side, particularly without that being embraced and that's why I love astrology when you know it a bit better. You can understand it's meant to be a dualistic sign. Look at what's really going on here.
I love it. No, I actually absolutely agree. And I don't have a bone to pick about this, but it's true. I also think it's a cheap shot. It's just become like popular.
Very cheap shot. Yeah. It's an ignorant shot as well, I think.
Totally. And I think that Gemini confronts people with those hard truths around like, use your words, because none of us were onboarded to, you know, skillfully speak. So learn how to do it. Hello. And then I think that quality of, well, it's not this, it's not that, it might be what I don't know that I don't even know I don't know yet. And people really struggle in uncertainty. And I think Gemini, I'll tell you what, that's one thing. I know we're asking about like what we don't do well. I'm like, I thrive in uncertainty, you know, but I do. I have no issues with it. I really don't. Because I just have allegiance to knowledge and information. I'm not allegiance to any status quo, any community, any, you know, kind of a political party. I just want to know the truth of the capital T. And I think that thirst makes people nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that where Gemini gets into issues is that maybe they overpromise and underdeliver. You know, they say yes to many things and they spread themselves really wide.
Mm.
And so it's, I don't think it's done maliciously. I just think it's done out of this passion, this curiosity for what could be. And I want to say yes. I don't want to miss anything out, right? There is this this kind of like youthfulness I find with Gemini energy. I feel like I'm still 16, you know?
This is a real headline. I think it's that mutability. And I'm highly mutable too, so I totally get it. And I see the opportunity quite often in change and I find it exciting. I feel suffocated if I know what's happening. And it's like, I would hate to have a schedule that was completely scheduled. I would just not be able to breathe. I need so much freedom. Well, Sag, but the space, you need that space, right, to move and create change and, you know, often present more questions than you answer, which people just want the question like answered. What do I do? And it's like, well, you can do a lot of different things. Let's find which feels best. you have to explore to find that.
Yeah, I think relationally people get uncomfortable with the fact that like Gemini's also sort of be like, hey, look, I might be in a relationship with you, but at best, I'm on loan to you with an option to renew. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, Vanessa. Okay, and I think that makes people really nervous too.
Yes, you know, like, very. In relationships, very.
And it's not that we can't do commitment. I have seen Geminis be like, okay, I've chosen you. Do you choose me? Right. But I feel like with Gemini relationships, there's always this energy of like, don't think you have me because you don't and you shouldn't. So let's keep dating each other. Let's keep getting to know each other.
Yes.
Let's
explore.
Rest on our laurels here. I think that's what makes mutable signs highly confronting.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that like, if you understand, say, we'll talk about the Gemini for mutable particularly, but I totally get it. If you understand it, you know how to work the Gemini and get the best out of the Gemini because you understand what they're doing. And if they are understimulated or bored and they start dancing circles around you like the cheeky little trickster, you know what's happening. So you can be like, oh, you're bored. Okay, let's go do something. Or you can throw them something and watch them like try to work it out. And you can be in control and have fun with that. And they're having fun. And I mean, that's a real element of play for Gemini as well, isn't it?
Yes.
And not always needing to be practical, the air signs, like concept is so very much. And being able to have the conversation and look around it and what do you think of this? Like also one of my best friends is a mega Gemini. She's got a massive stellium in Gemini. Just responds so well to new ideas and what do you think of this? And just you can keep throwing things to her and she'll catch it and she's like, she'll always come back with something great and throw it back. I love it. As the Sag, it's like we keep throwing the ball to each other.
That's what we've been doing since we started. I know. Bing, 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 bing.
Yes.
I love the Gemini Sag polarity energy. And look, I know this is your show, but I'm going to pull a Gemini here. Okay. What do you wish the world knew a little bit more about this zodiac sign? Because yeah, we can speak for ourselves, but if anybody can speak for us, it's our polar opposite sign. So what do you wish that others knew about the Gemini archetype in preparation for this month?
I think it's really that. I think it's that, you know, there's no, this maybe is Sag. I've got Saturn in Gemini opposite my Sun and Neptune, actually. Okay. So it's there in the first. I just think it's that. It's like there's no real truth. Like you'll never know the truth. So you've got to explore it. You've got to stay curious and you've got to have an operating system that is always ready to be updated. Are you going to stick with that same old OS X, whatever it is, operating system, because it's going to be outdated so fast, especially these days with, we've got so much information coming through. It's been such a learning curve. We've got access to so many diverse people's experiences, and which I've really loved, and I've loved the confrontation sometimes that brings you up against where your wall or your edge is. And that's exciting. How, you know, I love that personally. So I just wish people would know that don't hold on to your belief because you know what? It's probably wrong. So just update it. Like what's right for you, but you could grow, you know, so draw in that curiosity, dance around it, get around it, have the conversation.
Yes. Have the conversation.
Have the conversation this month. Oh. And always.
I loved what you said about that. That is true. I think we don't always know the truth. And I think Geminis receive value from learning cultures and just learning. I don't think Gemini derives any value from the knowing cultures of like, I know, and therefore, no. The minute we hear that, we're like, do you really though? And let's see your works cited page. And if I brought some experts in here, would they agree with everything that you said? Right. And like, we love that drama. We love that debate, you know? So that's a really beautiful point. You're right. We will never know the truth.
We'll never know. And everyone's truth is different. So you can't just put it on someone else that this is the way it's meant to be because theirs is different. Why is yours like yours is? Like, why don't you question where all that comes from? Because it's probably just been handed down to you. Who are they like to know the truth? You know, it's for you to develop it.
Yes, Sagittarius. And I believe that would make folks really uncomfortable, which is probably why Gemini is so maligned. And then, yes. Hey, if any zodiac sign can get close, it's probably Scorpio, right? So maybe that's another reason. And then I think with Virgo, they're just not inclined to believe anything anybody says. They're immediately leading with skepticism. And I love that. You know, that's
why they
deconstruct and reconstruct. So that's almost why maybe our three are sort of like where the researchers were trying to get to the bottom of things. And I think maybe that can make a lot of zodiac signs really uncomfortable. But I think if we can all work together, who knows what kind of truths we can discover.
Exactly. You need all those different ways.
100%.
And you need Gemini to throw that spanner in just when you thought you had it.
and we love to drop a little bit of drama. We do. We love it. We love a little bit of
the stimulation. So. Yes. Don't let the Gemini get bored or you're going to get trouble with a capital T. And it's just remembering the role that the signs have, isn't it? Gemini has its role. So let it do its thing and appreciate it.
And you know what? I think another role that it does is ask questions. I think honestly, Vanessa, our entire lives can change if we structured about 50% of our dialogue with other people as an open-ended question.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't like questions, do they? Especially ones that really are good ones.
That's where I'm unsure. I believe people do like questions. Mm-hmm. I believe people don't like asking them. So it's this rub, right? It's the vulnerability paradox. It's the first thing I want to see in Vanessa. It's the last thing I want to do. It's the last thing I want to initiate.
Yeah, right.
And they people want to get value from the knowing, right? They want to feel like they're the expert. So if they're asking, that's a vulnerable place to be. But what I've noticed is that me and my Geminis, we can just keep a conversation flowing because we'll ask, we'll follow up, we'll provoke, we'll kind of facilitate and ask, well, that's so interesting because Vanessa said this, what do you have to say for yourself, John? You know, we'll just pull people in.
Yes.
And I think I would love if I could ask anybody to do anything during Gemini season, it would be to just ask open-ended questions to people, to show that you care and show that you see them. Before I am catching up with a friend and before I have to do anything, the first thing I do is scroll in the text messages and go, oh, they had a job interview. Oh, they just went on this trip. Oh, they were reading this book, so that when I see them, you know, I could be like, how's that going? Did you finish it? Did you hear back from the job? Just to let other people know that I know them, that I see them, that I understand them.
That's really linking things, isn't it? It's making links because you've sort of circled back, you've made this link and you're bringing it into now.
Yes. And that means so much to people.
Yeah.
It means so much. And I think that we don't necessarily highlight that. And again, back to who said what? John Gottman, one of the pioneers of relational research, argues that if we don't have what he calls a love map, where we store cognitively the key details of our partner's lives through asking open-ended questions, we don't have a sound relationship.
Yeah.
So you can tell a lot by the questions that are being asked. It's really an interesting question.
That's a great directive for Gemini season. So I think we've got our takeaway already, which I like. We've done our takeaways.
Turn your energy down. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So now we're going to go into classic signs. Who's your classic sign, Colin?
Classic Gemini. So for me, it's a no-brainer. It is the one and only Miss Laverne Cox, who is a Gemini and a twin. I believe that she's really galvanized the conversations since she started performing in Orange is the New Black on really complicated intersectional issues within the United States about what it means to be trans, what it means to be Black, what it means to be from the American South, you know. And I believe that she has a way around dialoguing in these concerns that has created a tipping point. And I believe that she speaks without combativeness, which, wow, what a skill today. I haven't learned how to do it yet. And so there is, I think, that Gemini quality of let's just get to know one another. And even though we are so different, let me share a little bit about myself. And I'd love for you to share a little bit more about yourself. And I actually met her at speaking Gemini stories. So I graduated from Parsons New School for Design in 2016, and Laverne was an honorary degree recipient. So we were on the graduation stage together, and we walked out together, which was amazing. We walked out in the Javits Center, and she was right next to me, and I was joking with her, and I was like, so what are you going to do after graduation? You think you're going to use your degree? And she was like, I don't know, we'll see. You know, I have a lot of options. So we were just laughing, and I told her, like, Laverne, you are such a card-carrying Gemini, and she was like, honey, who are you telling? I'm like, good point. but it was just, she was lovely and kind and sweet and just fantastic, and I just love the way that she generates change through conversation, because that's what her career represents, right? If you know how to change a conversation, you know how to change the world, and that's what Laverne has done. I know this is like a strange thing to say, but I like really just couldn't be prouder of her. Like, I'm very proud of her. Like, I feel like she is just doing significant work. Absolutely. And I think the world of her. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Some people I haven't looked up what their charts are, and she's one. So that makes a lot of sense. I have seen her speak and I'm just like, oh, that's great. So my classic sign I'm going to talk about is, cause I fangirl so hard with this, Nell Campbell from the Rocky Horror Picture Show has a stellium in Gemini, and she's just so Gemini. She's really quick-witted. She's so funny. She is so cheeky. It's ridiculous. Like, she was a tap dancer. That's how she got her gig. You know, it's quick, like quick movements. She like moves quickly, like just the quality of her movements, hilarious. She's always throwing in these extremely cheeky little things. I was listening to an interview and she doesn't just say, of course. She's like, of course it. And, you know, plays with words. She's extremely playful. And she still is. She's still got that quality, which I love. You know, some signs, like Aries as well, the younger signs can stay so youthful no matter what age they are. Gemini is certainly one of those. So much fun. She's possibly writing a book soon, a memoir, because getting onto Instagram over lockdowns. She's based in Sydney now, but was in New York for a very long time. She said that it's just kind of, she's found her voice through writing Instagram posts. I mean, how Gemini is that? And so she's inspired to write a memoir and put her history together, because she's wow. just got so many, she's got like generations worth now fangirling her.
Aww.
Her both her parents were journalists. I mean, how Gemini. She's okay. done her time at being a journalist, and she currently is she's working through Cameo, where you can get, you know, well-known people to record a message that's sent to a friend. I mean, is that Gemini or what? She's being paid to be a messenger.
Quick message, pay me to talk. I know, go ahead.
Right. So she says about that in an interview, she said she records messages for Cameo, creating bespoke messages for a fee. She says people can contact me and they'll say the most amazing things, like, for example, I've just come out to my wife and children as trans. They've been really great. Or I'm going to tell my parents I'm gay this week. Can you give me some tips? So it's like a Dear Abby as well.
Oh, so Gemini.
So Gemini. And of her book, yeah, this is where she says writing Instagram posts during lockdown has helped her find her voice. And she says, this is the quote, "The curious mind can be locked up, but there are millions of things to do." Like write a book.
Yeah, through Instagram. I love that. Like, it was that medium, that modality. Right. Because social media can be such a hellscape that this Gemini found her voice.
Always positive. Let's go to the monthly moon segment. Yeah. And we have got the new moon is at 9 degrees Gemini. It is May 30 Eastern, 7:30 a.m. It is rogue. I don't think it's making any aspects at all. So I looked at the ruler, which is Mercury. It's retrograde, and by that point it's at 26 Taurus. And so what's Mercury doing in that case? It is
close to Saturn, right?
Yes, it's squaring Saturn's at 25 Aquarius, and it's in a trine, a nice flowing trine to Pluto, which is retrograde. And it's conjunct the North Node, which is positive. I think that and a real positive with that Pluto for transformation and having the difficult conversations. Yeah, the main thing is that square to Saturn, which is been a bit
love
of
a Saturn square. We love Saturn.
Everyone's bonnet. But the new moon, it's rogue. So that's interesting. Maybe there's like a purity of Gemini there. Do you do anything for new moons, Colin, like set intentions or do a little ritual?
I think when it's in my top three, if it's in Gemini, Capricorn, or Leo, I probably will.
Yeah.
And yeah, I actually have an amazing career project beginning on May 29th. So I'm going to get it. Yeah, yeah.
Did you set it for that date or?
Well, it happened completely. Yeah, it's a media project, completely out of my control. I'm just told when to show up.
Wow.
And it starts on May 29th.
That sounds like that's going to be very interesting. So, yeah, and is this new moon at 9 degrees conjunct your Gemini planets?
It's sort of wide. My Sun Mercury is 3-2. Right. So I have that energy going on. I have a Sun at 3, Mercury at 2, although my Mercury's retrograde at 2 Gemini, and then my Venus Jupiter conjunctions at 14 Gemini. So close-ish.
They're in.
So it's activating almost everything at this point. And yeah, the North Node over Gemini has just been easily like probably the most transformative 18 months of my entire life.
Wow.
So I almost feel like maybe the new moon is almost probably the moment where I can see, it's funny as I'm workshopping this real time with you, but I can sort of see like this really beautiful threshold capstone experience since May of 2020 to now. And I can see why things are in the way that they did over the last year and a half.
Wow. Yeah. It's gone fast, right? Gemini's just winks on his feet.
It really did. I know. And of course, here I was thinking I should make plans. No, you know, the when the North Node is over your sun, it has a different plan, doesn't it?
It
like sort of blew my circuits. But now that I'm like coming up for air and I'm looking around at what's happening, I'm like, whoa, this is, I would have never been able to dream this dream. But clearly the universe dreamed one through me, a bigger dream than I can possibly imagine.
And you're ready to dance with it.
That's right, baby. Gemini, light on our feet, light on our feet. That's especially it. Britney's playing. Forget it.
I love your Britney. Love for Britney.
Love Sagittarius. You already know.
I do know. All right. Well, congratulations on that. And I'm sure we'll hear more about it.
Yeah.
And that sounds, yes, just on that new moon, that's amazing, Gemini. There's actually hardly any aspects on that new moon. Like looking at the aspect grid, it's a weird looking grid because there's next to nothing going on, interestingly. Let's look at the full moon is on June 14th.
Nice.
23 degrees Sagittarius. Let's see. Let's go to the chart and.
Probably, I'm feeling a square to Neptune, right? It's going to be a Neptune square.
It's exactly square Neptune.
Okay.
0 degrees, and it's got good or like flowing aspects to Saturn, actually, sextile Saturn, the moon, and the sun is a nice flowing trine to Saturn. So yeah, the old Neptune, that's been coming up a lot through the Sag, obviously, new and full moon. So again, my interpretation is that Sagittarius wants to know. Neptune in Pisces is direct experience. You can't know. You can't have words. You have to just speak in whale sounds. What's your thoughts on that?
I love how you said you had to speak in wild sounds. It's so true for my Neptunian Pisces ruled friends. I love them for that. You know, I've been actually really thinking about the Mercury retrograde in Taurus. And because when you were talking about the new moon in Gemini, Mercury being the rule of the chart, squaring Saturn, and like Saturn being a contact to both of these lunations. And it's really the emphasis around deciding, not sliding. Which is a kind of really helpful frame of mind that I heard Dr. Scott Stanley speak on. He's a relational researcher in the US as well. And what he discusses is that a lot of times we slide into commitment and we don't decide. Because we're so afraid to ask the uncomfortable questions early on. We think that we're going to accelerate rejection and criticism. We're like safer in ambiguity and prolonged uncertainty.
Mm.
What I really love about Saturnian energy and definitely Taurian energy, you know, any earth sign is like, what am I agreeing to?
And how much is it going to cost me?
I just had that conversation today, me and my Capricorn stellium. So maybe what we could think about is like reviewing some of the decisions we've made and really ask, like, did I slide into this or did I decide this?
I like that thing over the last few years, the situationship. So it sounds like you're talking about the situationship that people just find themselves in because they're in it. And that's,
That's from marital researcher Terence Real. Yeah, he calls the modern state of relationships right now stable ambiguity, where we don't want to actually engage in effortful intimacy building, but we don't want to be alone. So we're going to stay in a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not lonely, but we're not experiencing the secure attachment of relational commitment.
Yeah. Yep. So the slide. Don't slide, decide.
Exactly. And I think I would love to see people feel like they're allowed to do that and they're allowed to sort of ask others. You know, I think that for whatever reason, we just are playing the chill card, playing it cool. And it's like, no, I'm not playing my time and energy cool. Like, are we agreeing to this or not? And what do you want? Because maybe you want pizza and I don't. Never. But, you know, maybe you want something else. So we need to talk about that. So I would love to see maybe that could be something did I slide into this or did I decide this?
That's true. And that's a big deal because everyone's, security patterns, you know, as soon as you start talking about something, people might think, oh my God, you know, the security, the attachment just gets all fired up and triggered, which is why it can be good to have a mediator, like a counselor, just to sit in the middle, hold the space, close off the conversation once it's done so you can feel secure again. Yes. Or learn that for, yeah, oneself. And I'm just thinking about, you know, having the talking stick, opening the session, even if it's just between you and your situation partner and closing it off again too. Like we just have, be formal about it. Use all the words, be formal about it. This is what we're doing. Are you ready to have the conversation? The reasons why, not just like it's not an attack.
Absolutely. Mm. And I would love, again, just like people feeling, well, to be honest with you, I think, and this is the work of Gottman again, he says when we experience pain in our heart, it takes about 2 minutes for us to call a medical professional. We'll call 911. When there's a problem in a relationship, Vanessa, people wait up to 7 years because I think they don't realize that there are resources out there. And so maybe that's what we can do just in this podcast is let others know, like there are sentence stems, communication sequences, methods for relational ambivalence and pre-commitment selection. There are structured approaches for this and they could get support they need to decide commitment, not slide into commitment.
Yeah. Well, with Mercury retrograde, it's certainly a great time to scoot back and look at how you can go forward with communication, where it might have been missing, what it like triggers in you that you're avoiding. You know, vulnerability. It's all about the vulnerability, isn't it?
Not the V word.
Benefits, the benefits. I love the hidden benefit side of things. The benefit, hidden benefits of not being clear with someone or yourself. What are you afraid of? What are you getting out of not being clear, actually?
Right. You're avoiding self-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's like a There's a small benefit, right? But I think the cost is much higher than that. Yeah. And I would love to see us, yeah, just like turn towards and approach what makes us uncomfortable and stay standing in it because it's like, hey, this is what I said for the lunar eclipse in Scorpio to people. You want to play? You got to pay the cost of admission. It's so true though.
Absolutely. And you've got to use your words.
Use your words. Right.
Well, come right with me to the headlines for Gemini season. So the key signatures. Did you have a look through the key signatures or shall I go through them? Because I have them all here.
I, in true Gemini fashion, did not look at the key signatures. I'm showing up to class. I'm prepared. The first one I'm thinking of, though, is Mars entering Aries. I don't know if that's one of them.
You're right. On the 24th of May, Mars does enter Aries and things certainly will spice up a bit then because we're going to have that group in Aries at that time, aren't we?
I love it.
24th of May. I'm just going to go to the chart on that actually because that's something I was thinking about too in terms of getting a little pile up happening in Aries. So for a minute there, we've got when the moon goes through Aries around the 27th-ish of May, we'll have Mars conjunct Jupiter in Aries around 1-2. So then we've got Chiron at 15, the moon, and then Venus at 28. So 1, 2, 3, 5 planets. So it's going to be a real vibe. I was wondering about the Mars and Jupiter conjunct in Aries. With, you know, Jupiter just expands, you know, it doesn't decide it's good or bad. It's just going to make more of it, I think, which.
Great point.
Yeah. So US, I feel for you guys with this one. It's also when Jupiter conjuncts Chiron, a little concerned about that. But yeah, Mars, Jupiter, on a personal note, energy, just freaking do it. Just what are you going to do? Where are you going to direct that, you know, flamethrower?
Well, and also like how, because it's funny, I would actually say what's the planet that has now really animated my work probably the most over the last 2 years, Vanessa, is Mars. All about desire and autonomy and freedom and independence and wanting. So I would really love for folks to really consider, like, do they own their wanting? That's how Esther Perel defined desire, you know, do they let themselves want, right? Because wanting is one thing, loving is different, needing is something else. Where are we when we're just wanting? Who are we? What are we wanting? Who are we with? right? Like, and when I think of wanting, I think of Aries, and I think of yearning, reaching, longing. I love that. And I would love for folks to let themselves want again, especially after being surrounded by such, you know, collective trauma and a pandemic and economic and racial upheavals. We've experienced so much. And so we need life force again.
So it could be a real engine starter. Really turn that energy over, right? Like, we have all had to like stop plans and stop. And you might have had this mobility, but you've got to remind yourself you can't go anywhere, or you've got to watch your actions, what you do. And Mars is just like, I'm going to do this in Aries with Jupiter.
Come on now, right? Let's go. Feel that, you know, because I think people do have complicated, tricky relationships with desire.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what we can do around that time to really heal that, I think, and, you know, regulate any objection that we have towards owning and wanting.
Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, open up, I guess that's, having that curiosity to your own action as well. Well, you've got to know where you're heading. What is it that you want to do?
Yeah, right. Yeah. What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to do it with?
Yeah.
You know, what does wanting feel like in a person's body?
Be conscious about it.
Get conscious, get somatic, get embodied. Yeah. What does it mean for you to be in yearning, longing, reaching, anticipating, wanting? Like my whole body just like raised 10 degrees talking about it.
Yes. And you're also in red as well. You're ready.
Right?
You're ready.
I have a progressive moon in Aries that's got me into heaps of trouble. So that's why, just all things Aries and Mars. I'm like, I love to sit my clients down before they have a Mars return. And I'm like, are you doing everything you want to do for the next 40 days? So I would love to talk about it during Gemini season. You know, a lot of us are real clear on what we don't want. We know what we don't like. But well, then what do you want? Name it. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Rather than just responding, or like something I always say is, you know, things that frustrate me or really annoy me, rather than sit around whinging about it, I've realized finally, take action, do something about it. Like, let that drive you then. You make the change. You put it out there. Don't be like whinging because no one else is doing it. Why don't you go do it? And it really drives me. Like, I get so much energy by letting that be my fuel, to be quite honest.
Love it. I love it. Good. And you're an Aries moon. So you
I am an Aries moon naturally. Right. And it's the Aries fuels me. I've got Mars in Pisces, but it's I lean into the fire, and that really creates the drive to action, because the Mars in Pisces might not act. It'll just be feeling and receptive. And I can tell when that moon kicks in. So I really, I let that turn the key over, basically, on the ignition, and then I'm off.
Happy Mars return, by the way. Happy Mars return.
Thank you. It's been great, actually. Sextile from Uranus has been fantastic, amazing. Gosh, love that sextile. All right. So, May, Gemini season, is quite fueled by Aries, Mars in Aries. Just do it. What are you going to do, though? Just do it. Do what?
I'm going to get into trouble internationally. That's the goal, right? Go back to Italy, say hi to my amiche there, and eat a lot of posticciotto, amatriciana, blah, 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 and just live my life.
Well, I'll be getting into trouble in the UK and Greece and Sydney, so I'm traveling too, so that's awesome.
Yay! Okay,
so
I love it.
I'm going to be around Greece. I'll be there.
Athens. Well, let me know.
Yeah.
Is this your first time in Greece?
Yes, which is why I'm like, where haven't I been? Go there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So Sag. Yeah, I'm so happy to see my Sagittarians just traveling and living and experiencing. You deserve that so much.
I do. It's been too long.
Damn it.
So, let's have a look at what else we have. We have, I'm going to go through the ingresses. So Mercury retrograde enters Taurus May 22, backing it up. Mars enters Aries May 24. Venus enters Taurus May 28th. Beautiful. Venus is very happy in Taurus.
Yes.
And there's desire as well. Like it's very, you know, it's physical, it's food, it's like sensual. The senses relate. Yes. Like how are you going to relate Taurus vibes? How are you going to love yourself? Massage, good food, smells. Mm. Roll around in it at all.
Yes, you've said it beautifully.
And nice slow relating as well. Like, let's take our time, Taurus. That's slow. True. New moon in Gemini, May 30. Mercury direct, June 3rd. That's a good one to write down. Mercury direct, June 3rd. All systems go. So look back at what that window revealed, what came to your mind, what I find with Mercury retrograde, it's a strong one for me. So obviously these are stronger if they're on a point or a planet. The personal planet or a cardinal, like the cross, the earth cross.
Oh, yeah.
I'll start to reminisce. I'll be thinking about conversations from like decades ago, like someone will pop up in my mind and I'll take that as the messenger, the Mercury messenger. What was the topic of that conversation? And I'll think about what that message might be from my subconscious coming up. Look at the dreams, what's coming back. Okay. Well, why is this coming up now? Rather than just get lost in it, especially while driving. So Gemini.
You get really good messages when you're driving?
Really great. I love it. I love it. Just, I'm looking forward to my trip, actually. It's a hell flight. It's so far from Australia to get anywhere. But I'm really looking forward to that just relaxing, sitting there for ages. Like I like sitting on buses for that reason too. Someone else is driving and I can just see what comes up, my mind mulls over. Yeah.
What those spaces can be is like.
Absolutely. They can really be a great container and traveling.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Literally Italy. That's you.
Literally Italy. I hope one day.
So then we've got after Mercury direct on the 3rd, June 4 is Saturn retrogrades, June 7, first quarter moon, June 13, Mercury is back in Gemini. So things speed up. What is it? Become very conscious. I think while in Taurus, listen to your body. Messages really can come through there as well. Yes. And Gemini, it's time to say it. Time to share your words.
Oh, time to say it. Yes.
Time to say it.
Time to say it.
Yeah. Full moon in Sag, June 14. And the season finishes June 21st when the sun enters Cancer. So, and I'll just say this is just into Cancer season, but Venus will move into Gemini June 22. Seems relevant, Gemini.
Oh, yes. On my mother's birthday. Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, okay, Mom.
Very cool. So we've got, in terms of the aspects, always lots and lots of aspects. There's heaps of sextiles and trines. We've got a few squares. Let's look at this. It's all like more so the personal planets and outer planets. There's no massive outer planet to outer planet, which is always the biggest headline, let's face it. Yeah. So I'll just go through a few of those and give me your rundown. What do you look at, you know, would you look at the sun in aspect to things, Mercury, Venus, Mars, which would be the ones you would give preference to, or do you?
I am ruled by the sun, so I probably do all three.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Rising. And I wonder about our listeners, do you look at your sun's ruling planet, your ascendant's ruling planet, and keep a closer eye on that?
I do. I'm a big fan of ruling planet pattern finding. Ruling 100%. Yeah, because I feel the sun enter a new sign immediately. Yes. And when I really try to incorporate it and think about its wisdom, I'm completely transformed by it. Like I really was deliberate about taking off when the sun was in Cancer, the ruler of my 12th.
Yeah,
and I'm still living with the positive effects of that to this day.
Wow.
Later. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of ruling planet energy. I'm like, what the hell is going on there?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, nice. So then we've got, here we go. June 15 is that Mars in Aries conjunct Chiron. I just want people to forewarned, you know, is forearmed. If something pops up, reactivity. Let's talk about reactions and reactivity with Mars in Aries.
Yeah, like maybe if we talk about it, we'll be responsible with it. Well, it's that Viktor Frankl quote that says between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space is your ability to choose your behavior. And in that choosing is your freedom and your power. And that's where I think actually America could stand some significant skill building, right? Because just because you're feeling a particular thing doesn't give you license to react. We love the feeling.
Yes.
Let's talk about emotion, but let's be very clear. You don't have license to move through your emotions irresponsibly.
That's the shadow side of the Cancer sun in the US that I was referring to earlier.
Yeah. And I knew that in my bones. Did I know that? Yeah. Yay. So anyway, I'm not suffering from what Gore Vidal calls the United States of amnesia. We just have no clue about our history and our problems.
Yeah.
No. Oh, geez. Do I see it loud and clear? Yeah.
So that was the headlines. Key takeaways and monthly mantras. We've definitely done a few good takeaways. So we're going to go to, do you have a mantra? I'll give the example. So I just go with the obvious thing, which is I easily express myself in a way others can hear, or another way, in a way others listen to. You know, there's talking and there's speaking for your audience so that you actually connect and get your message accepted.
Oh my God, there's so much. Wow. I don't even want to like add that. So yeah, I speak in a way that I'm, you know what one I'm actually feeling drawn to actually? That relationships are a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So what I'm always trying to think about is what is my space? What am I doing? What am I thinking or how am I saying it that creates the very boomerang effect that I am not thrilled with?
Yes. What was so your part in that situation?
Oh yeah, like, And so I think that's what I'm always thinking about. If relationships are a feedback loop, what am I saying or how am I saying it that creates the outcome that I am not thrilled with? And I think people need to remember that, because in our community, I think we have a lot of permission and time and space, like monitoring and surveilling and diagnosing and pathologizing everybody else. And my Mooney Capricorn question is like, well, I don't have the luxury of talking to them. What have you done?
Yes.
You know, so that's relationships are a feedback loop.
Yep, absolutely. I like that. So true, especially when we get into that Venus in Gemini as well. Like, bring that in. Read the situation.
Yes, yep. Yes. See what you're doing. See what they're doing. It's a system. It's a dynamic. It's there's mechanics here.
Yeah.
So it's true. Not just them, and it's not just you.
And there's two people involved.
Hello, and this. And the space between. So then what?
Yeah, play with it.
Play with it. Dance with on it.
Dance on it. Dance with it. Bring in the Gemini, the fun. Have fun with it.
I know. Yeah. People really need to lighten up anyway.
It's true in many ways. What's on your coffee table, Colin? You've already shared a book with us. What have you got prepared?
I just got this book by Day Skill Direct. It's called Hello, Goodbye, 75 Rituals for Times of Loss, Celebration, and Change.
Oh.
And I fell in love with it because I heard Esther Perel quote him. And the quote was, rituals are the rhythms and traditions that give us a sense of stability in the face of uncertainty by reminding us there's always something we can do, say, or make that can conjure awe, contentment, and gratitude. They give us a way to acknowledge through our actions that as life changes, we too must change.
Nice. Yep. Especially with in the Venus in Taurus period this month, you know, anchoring down into ritual. It's so earth, isn't it? It's so earthy.
Yeah. And you know, thinking about COVID in really just demolishing birthdays, graduations, weddings, funerals.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Rituals.
Those are all rituals.
Yeah.
And we've lost them. And so no wonder we're experiencing what Pauline Boss would call ambiguous loss.
Yeah. Yes.
It's confusing, you know? And so maybe it's my moon in the sixth, my Virgo south node, my Taurus midheaven. I'm all about the ritual to provide the container to remind us that there's always something we can do. And that's how we delineate. That's how we punctuate. That's how we move from this to that, here and there, everywhere, nowhere. If we don't have rituals, I don't know what we're doing. So this is what's on my coffee book table side situation.
my bedside table. Right. I like it. Well, I got this in the mail. Host Demetra George.
Wonderful.
Ancient astrology. I'm just such a fangirl of Demetra's. Oh my God.
Legend.
Such a legend. That's the word. Legend. So I have both now. Not that I've read much of the first one, but they are massive. So both together's thousands of pages. And
great. Good thing you have a long flight. You got a very long flight
that I think this took me over the luggage waiting, so that's not coming with me. I was going to go through it with a friend. We're going to meet up every weeks on Zoom, speaking of structure, and go through together as a mega Sag friend, of course.
Oh, I love it.
So it's called Ancient Astrology in Theory and Practice, A Manual of Traditional Techniques, Volume 2 by Demetra George. And so you must also get volume one in that case if you go with it. And I think, you know, I'm a modern astrologer and we did cover a lot of traditional in my education and going to conferences.
Yeah.
We had Benjamin Dykes coming over to Australia talking about all sorts of Arabic parts, lots and things. So it's not new, but I think it's time to get more grounded so that I can be part of that conversation more clearly. Because it's huge, isn't it? The traditional astrology really coming through from that hindsight translation project is really coming to fruition. 30 years later, long time. I think it's having its Saturn return or something.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's astrology. To me, this is the ultimate, you know, fruition. Demetra George with these two enormous books.
Oh, that's great.
So that's mine. Colin, what have you got coming up that you'd like to share with people? You do readings, so
yes,
head on over to.
Yes, still have natal chart readings. I have a new service I'm actually really happy about because, again, I think people are so anti-social media and I respect that. It's a texting subscription. So I'll text people. It's like you pay for a monthly subscription. And so I'll text them when certain transits are happening. And that's been really fun. So they get long form multimedia content and then just quick little SMS text messages. That way we can stay in touch like off the apps where, you know, sometimes that can be really psychologically disturbing. And I will have a fun media project coming out next fall.
I can't wait to know more.
Yeah.
Well, first I'll say you're texting. If that's not the ultimate Gemini, I don't know what is.
That's what all the astrologers say. Hey, girl, here's what's happening today.
I like it. And I certainly understand why people might want to just avoid social media at the moment completely. Totally get it. Mental health, let's face it. So find Colin at queercosmos.com.
Yes.
Go check out
my Sag friend is redesigning my website, so it's almost done.
Okay, cool.
Yes, it'll be done soon. And on Instagram at Queer Cosmos, so they can email me, Colin at queercosmos.com. I'd be happy to talk to them.
Excellent. And you have a book too, so put that on your nightstand, everybody. What's your book called?
So I actually have one about Gemini, I have one about Queer Cosmos, the astrology of queer identities and relationships, and then a little bit of astrology. So I have three books out. Yes. And because, you know, I went to school in America, I got student loans to pay. So if anybody wants to just buy some books, help me pay my student loan tab, that would be nice. But worth every penny. And I had such a blast writing those books. And it really, art imitated life. I was getting into a lot of trouble writing Gemini. The second book was, I was going through really amazing relational transitions. And then I finished my first book at UAC 2018.
Wow. I have to say, when you tune into these archetypal energies, it really comes to the fore. It really does. It does.
amazing. I know that could be a whole book in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Of like what happens when you kind of make those commitments to give a birth to a book baby. And then the next thing you know, it's you're right in front of it. It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. It is pretty wild. I love it. It's so exciting when it all comes together. And let's go to Astrology University. So go to their events page on astrologyuniversity.com. Events calendar, May 21 kicks off with Goddesses on the Landscape with Arielle Goodman. And she is all over the Venus situation, the Venus cycle. So that would be amazing.
Great.
Working with your eighth house planets is the 28th of May with Melanie Reinhart. Ooh. And I do find the water houses seem to be the least understood. So always worth getting into those. High Times and Addiction in the chart with Jessica Lagnardo, June 4.
Wonderful.
I'm just looking through. In this talk, Jessica applies her experience as a counseling astrologer to unpack the topics of drugs and addiction in the birth chart. This is interesting for the Pluto squares too, because this is a lot of people obviously aren't going to talk about this stuff because reputation, etc. So this would be really interesting.
Totally.
And Jessica's great at talking about all the things, isn't she? She's really great at it. In a way that, you know, makes you feel empowered and not bad. She's very contemporary. Relationship Astrology 101, June 8 to July 3. So this is a course with my teacher, my old teacher, Brian Clark.
Ooh,
okay. He is a legend, been around forever. So that would be great. So we've got really, as always, amazing teachers.
Amazing teachers, amazing programs.
Yeah. So 101 Synastry, and Brian has a massive stellium in Libra. So I just love it when he talks about relational things and synastry. He's all over it and he's so passionate. I have readings, of course. Come get a reading or sign up for like a monthly, yearly commitment. Ooh, you can do subscriptions through me now or quarterly as well, so that we can look back, look ahead. I'm with Colin on continuity. Really, a lot of people, it's all about looking forward and no one's looking back. Well, how did that go? What came up? You have to loop back or it's never going to make sense. And that's the best way to learn. So I've put that offer up for that reason and the commitment of it as well. So we have a container that we know we can plan for, I can plan for with the charts as well. And one-off readings. I'll be traveling, but I'm still open to doing readings. I'm certainly open to doing live ones in London, Edinburgh, Athens. I'm there. If you're there, I'm there. I'd love to meet up with you and do it in person. Greek people come to me. Athenians.
Londoners. Yeah.
That's it. Love it. Lesbians on Lesbos come to me. That's officially their title.
It's true. I love it. Right. I love it.
Londoners, Glaswegians, and of course my books as well, Star Power and Cosmic Power with number 3 on the way, but Supply Chain, US, you're going to have to wait a bit longer. I'm going to miss the Christmas, unfortunately. So that's looking at being out in I think January 17, but that could change. You know, we've got that changeable. If things are changeable.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah. So I'll keep everyone updated on that. And have a wonderful Gemini season. Get cheeky. Get flirtatious. Have fun.
Yes, yes.
Try not to get into too much trouble and have the conversations. Is that what we're doing, Colin?
That's what we're doing. We're going to get into trouble. Then we're going to get ourselves out of it with smooth talk. Because Hermes went god of the persuasive tongue. And then we're going to ask a lot of questions and then we're going to dance.
Yeah, we're going to dance. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Colin.
Oh, thank you, Vanessa. This was so much fun.
Thank you, everyone, also for tuning in. And we'll see you next season. Have a great and cheeky season of the twins. Bye for now. This month's featured nonprofit is the Malala Fund. You can find it at malala.org, M-A-L-A-L-A
Org. So the Malala Fund invests in education activists and advocates who are driving solutions to barriers to girls' education in their communities. At this moment, nearly 130 million girls are out of school. Even more are in school but not learning. And according to UNESCO, 11 million girls may not return to education this year alone due to the COVID crisis. So current rates of progress indicate that we're still 100 years away from education for all girls. And that's why the Malala Fund is focused on accelerating progress, challenging systems, policies, and practices so all girls can access 12 years of free, safe, quality education. There's also a focus on leadership, which obviously is really important. The fund works in regions where the most girls miss out on secondary education, which in many cases is also a lifeline. So head over to malala.org and check that out, or find a grassroots nonprofit in your local area so that you can make an impact and perhaps see that impact and progress as well, especially if you live in an area where that could be particularly useful.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.